You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
On a long enough time frame, that's always going to be what happens, and the value of fiat is always going to go like this, and the value of anything that holds value is going to go up. It's very, very simple. Like, I'm not that smart, but
me neither.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I just, like, Bitcoin is definitely like the digital manifestation of gold. There's a limited supply. Like, you can't even say that about ETH, really. I haven't done that much research on ETH for the last, like, year or 2 years.
Bitcoin is like digital gold. ETH is digital oil.
Interesting. Just for the, so let's go into that. Like, do you say that because of the perceived use cases of Ethereum?
Yeah, but the problem I have with it is, let's say you're sending your money to some other wallet on ETH so you can buy lower cap coins or do other fucking DeFi activities, right? ETH used to be really good for that because it was the only option. But the problem is, if you're not fucking really rich, you're going to do that and then pay more in gas fees than you would ever pay, or than you would ever even make in all likelihood just doing DeFi shit. So nowadays, it's like you could spend hundreds of dollars on gas fees on ETH, or you could go on Solana where it's faster. It's literally instant, and the gas fees are pretty much zero. So that's why I think the ETH is kind of losing its application.
Yeah, it's like, I think about the – you're probably pretty young, but when – and I was too – the dot-com boom, when like – you watch a MSNBC business show from like the late 90s. They're talking about like the internet a lot, internet companies, and they're like, who's gonna be the big player? Is it gonna be AOL? Is it gonna be pets.com? Is it gonna be what is that fucking company that went bankrupt in 08? Enron or something? Is it gonna be Enron? You think they were fucking talking about, they weren't talking about Google, they weren't talking about Amazon, they weren't talking about fucking Nvidia, because those companies were like the diamonds in the rough that just emerged later.
That's capitalism. It's just people are always trying to
making shit better and better
on each other's necks. Yeah,
making shit better and better.
It has to be like that.
Competing. That's why capitalism is good, because it's a competition oriented economy. It's a merit based economy.
You get paid equivalent to the amount of value that you could provide people.
Can you believe that there's like people that are Marxists in the world?
But if I was a complete fucking loser and I knew I was not gonna end up being valuable in any way, I probably would be a Marxist too, because that would be in my best interest.
That's right. That makes sense. Dude, fuck, dude, they're just, I don't know, man. Like, I haven't met that many people with that mindset, but like when you do, it's like, it's, I have to like leave. I have to.
I don't think I've ever actually met somebody like that.
Yeah. And they might be less common than the media wants us to think they are, or more common than the media wants us to think they are. Sorry.
I mean, there's definitely tiers to it, right? Where like just anybody who believes fucking you should. I don't even know. There's definitely like tiers to it, that there are loads of people who think poor people who don't do shit should just get money for no fucking reason. Bro, yeah. Have you ever seen that video of that like fucking black woman on her bed with her kid being like, we got food stamps, everybody? And she's holding up like Skittles and flexing the food stamps. Be like, we don't got to work. No job.
And somebody in that position probably thinks they're like, they're fired up because they're like, I'm finessing, dude.
Yeah,
I'm running off with the bag, dude. Like,
yeah.
I mean, shit, I'd probably be fired up too. I'd be like, dude, I ain't doing shit. But you sacrifice your sense of human purpose when you live like that, for sure.
And it's just like, not a good life.
Yeah, dude. Like, two nights ago, I leave my car unlocked for the night. I'd like to think my neighborhood is nice and safe, but somebody got in my car, took my fucking wallet, $200 cash, and I was so like mad. I was like crashing out, and I was like, dude, that fucking bum probably needed it more than me. You know.
Yeah.
But you want to find someone like that and be like, let me teach you a lesson, boy.
About the curve,
let me teach you a lesson. Let me learn you. And it's just like, you know, you have a wave of that. And then it's kind of like, okay, like I can't, I'm probably not going to find this person. I need to just let go of it and acknowledge that like there are people that just fucking live like that.
Yeah. And you then know? Just the overall mentality of like these people are not as capable as me. So I need to financially help them and be forced to. That idea is propagated at the top by politicians who also own the MSN, who also own the media, who want to do things like give Ukraine a bunch of money so they can launder it back to their personal bank accounts. And then there's people at the bottom of the chain, the consumers, who listen to that and go, well, yeah, like, look at me. I'm a good person. I'm for supporting other countries that are weaker than me. When in reality, they're the ones getting fucked because their tax dollars are going directly to the politicians.
And think about, like, I know, you know, Elon like stepped away from like government shit this week, right?
I don't follow politics too much. Yeah. Tim was just talking about that on pod.
Oh, you guys were talking about that too?
Yeah.
It's like, I think that somebody, dude, and it's kind of crazy to like go on Twitter and like see how the liberals are like digesting that. Cause they're like, oh, Trump used Elon. Like Elon got used, like, calling him like a bootlicker and stuff. And it's just like really interesting.
But Elon chose to step away.
Yeah. It's like, dude, this guy's got how many fucking companies? Like, you know,
probably go have some fucking kids or like make some money. It's like,
yeah,
going on Twitter. And
yeah.
Going, talking shit to Elon.
I'm like, dude, it seems like the relationship, I don't want to speculate. I'll never know those two men, but like, I wonder if there's a chance that like their relationship soured somehow, some way. Like, I don't know, dude. It's interesting to think about. But
then at that level, it is kind of like a game of chess, and you like,
yeah,
you're trying to get into office, and Elon is gonna say some words and give you a fucking platform. Which, by the way, that is severely fucked up. That before Elon did that, like one side of the political spectrum was just completely banned from having an opinion. People don't understand how scary of an issue that is. But then again, from Trump's perspective or Elon's perspective, it's literally just a game of chess, and you can't take it personally if you're either one of them.
Yeah, because I feel like when you get to that echelon of power, you probably can't make anything personal at all, ever.
I was just thinking about this literally on the way here, and I was like, these politicians and shit, like, why, you don't see them flexing cars and houses and shit like that. And I was like, they probably get to a point where they have so much fucking money. Money is not even what they desire. It's literally just power, which is fucking a different thing. Like, you get to decide what the fuck happens because you're in U.S. Congress or whatever.
Kind of get that. I feel like that's a crazy feeling, probably. It's like
power.
Yeah. It's like you have to. That's such a degree of responsibility, bro.
Anybody who wants that probably is going to be fucked up a little bit.
Yeah.
Just the same thing with a lot, not all cops, but like a lot of cops.
But that's what I kind of like about Trump is that like he already had power. Like he went into the especially in 16.
He didn't have like, 7 million people are dead.
Yeah. Well, dude, it's like, I don't know. Like, I feel like the best leaders are the ones that, that don't necessarily need in their identity to be leaders.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I don't know.
Like, he it's so hard to say with politics because any of them could be in on some fucking grand conspiracy. And I would like, because I don't know what the fuck is going on, but it seems like Trump genuinely has the country's best interests at mind.
I think
which
so.
Is extremely, extremely rare in terms of politics.
I mean, because I really, for the longest time, I was like, why is immigration such an issue? Like, why are Democrats, you know, on the floor or whatever you call it when they're like, I don't know. Have you ever seen those clips where like the politicians in Congress from like different parties are like arguing and like, I don't know what that's called. I think they're like,
but I know what you mean though.
Discussing laws that they want to pass or whatever. Like, I don't know.
The way the country was heading in terms of like, you look at what was going on and the fucking transgender garbage that was being propagated,
just
opening the border to any fucking rapist, cartel, MS-13 member that wanted to come across. And you look at it, and any rational-minded person would look at that and go, there is something much more nefarious going on here, and this is, like, a general direction the entire world is heading. Like, the same thing over in the UK. They're just letting a bunch of fucking terrorists across the border, raping the women, and then they can't even do anything about it because they can't find it because they don't know who the fuck they are.
Yeah. Well, it's like all of that, Dylan, for votes, pretty much.
See, that's the thing is I don't personally think it's for votes. I think really? There's some fucking devil worshiping or something going on.
Just for the fun of it. Kind of like the Joker and Batman.
Pretty much. It's just genuine evil at its core.
Yeah. Well, it's like...
They're just Satanists.
Yeah. Fuck. Sorry about that chair, dude. No, it is fucked. I've had that thing
it's for... It's forced like, me to correct my posture.
I've had that thing for like 7 years, bro. And I just... Dude, I'm such a big... Fucking, I like sitting down on shit hard. It's such a relief to just like take a like. Oh yeah, just like you know what I mean.
Back my fucking head hits the wall.
Yeah.
Fuck, here we go again.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, but I think I got a habit of that because when I was playing ball, I was always sore. So like. Practicing.
It's like a relief when you don't have to stand up anymore.
Yeah, because it like when you're really sore from like a bunch of lifting or like hitting, like you probably can relate to this with fighting. Like when you're sore, you and you're trying to sit down, like and you're trying to do so with like some restraint, it like takes effort.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Like if you want to sit down gently, it's like
and
so,
everything's like
yeah, it's hard. So I just got used to like sitting down, like plopping down and shit. And so I think that's why that chair is fucked up because I've been no, doing that.
It also gets to the point where you have it 7 years. And it's like I do not want to get rid of this chair.
Yeah. Damn. So Elon steps away. Trump. I guess the tariffs are back on, dude. I really don't know what's gonna happen in the market, like. I feel like we've been anticipating a fucking recession for the last like 2 or 3 years now.
Dude, I wish I've been keeping up with the investing analysis channel that I watch in the real world so I could spit some fucking fast. Because usually yeah. when my investing professor Adam says some shit, it's right. And then I can fucking copy it and I look really smart.
Yeah.
But I haven't, so I couldn't really tell you. But in terms of like... risk assets like Bitcoin, there's going to be a very immense bull run until November 2025, and that's when the global liquidity cycle is going to fade out, and it's not. But the risk assets like Bitcoin are going to continue to rise until then.
Global until liquidity cycle.
We could pull that up.
Global liquidity cycle. Let's see. Liquidity...
cycle. Because the governments print money, but there's obviously a cycle to it. Where it's not just fucking always they're printing like this infinitely out of thin air. It goes in waves, and that's something that you could track. And I always, like people who do technical analysis and day trade, I mean, there's some people who do it, but in general, I'd always advise, it's like, if you were trying to track my heart rate and make money predicting where my heart rate was going to go, like the best way to do it would be to look at me and see what I'm doing. And that is essentially what tracking global liquidity is.
Yeah.
In terms of like market prices.
Well, it's like, let me think. It's like when there's more liquidity in the market, there's more available cash to buy assets. And so that drives the assets up.
There's right? a few different reasons, right? So like,
yeah.
obviously it's like the very fucking simple one that somebody with fucking retardation could understand is if Bitcoin is denominated in US dollars. So you have Bitcoin over US dollars. And then the amount of US dollars goes up and the amount of Bitcoin stays the same. The price for one Bitcoin is going to raise in US dollars.
Yeah.
And then there's also, fuck, I hope I don't butcher this and sound like a fucking idiot.
It's okay.
So you have people with the most money that they don't need as much of an increase to receive exorbitant amounts of wealth. So that would be bonds. Mm-hmm. And then... blue chip stocks, mm-hmm. and then growth stocks, and then penny stocks, and then crypto. And what happens is when people can't get as big of a return on bonds anymore, the money in that market trickles down, and then the money in those trickle down, and that then it trickles sense. Down into crypto.
Yeah, because there's more available cash probably. And that makes sense too, because like interest rates probably have something to do with that.
Yeah, yeah, that's what because people get a fucking hard on for interest rates, which like there is absolutely a correlation, but it's not black and white. Like interest rates go up, these things go down. It's like interest rates change, and then these people cannot make as much money in the same asset, so they have to go into more riskier assets than those people, and then it just kind of trickles down into fucking shit cock Obama cum coin into.
Yeah. Well, it's like people, I'm noticing on my calls with prospects too, that a lot of folks are leaning towards like fixed index annuities and things like that.
What's that?
No downside. It's a bond replacement.
Oh, okay.
It's a savings account and an insurance company. So
basically you just get a yield on a savings account?
Yeah. It's you get a participation in the S&P, but they cap it. They cap your participation. So you can only get a max return on average of about like 7 or 8% if the S&P does year. That. Yeah. So like, let's say on one, and I don't sell these products. Frankly, I think people get really greedy selling them because the insurance company kicks you a big commission. Mm-hmm. So I've watched people like selling those be overcome by greed and end up not doing the right thing for the household, putting them in an annuity when they shouldn't. So I don't really love them that way, but they can be good. But you get, let's say you get a 7% participation cap with the S&P 500 in a fixed index annuity product. If the market does 20, you get 7.
See, that's the thing. Like, I feel like the buying power of fiat currency and US dollar is being devalued so fast that you could, I don't know what the fucking numbers on this, but you theoretically could get 7% and then end up losing money on it because the buying power of that asset has been devalued so immensely.
Yeah, there's inflation risk for sure. It's like, I got a guy I'm bringing down the process right now. Dude's sitting in like $200,000 cash. And I'm just like, why? He's like, oh, I got a nice 4.5%. You know, high yield savings. And it's like, dude, inflation this year is probably going to outpace that easily. Yeah, and last
within
year.
Within the next 12 months, that's going to have the buying power of like 170, 180.
Yeah. So the challenge is like, Jesus, convincing people that like, hey.
Cash is risky. US dollar is the ultimate shitcoin. That is the most risky fucking asset you could hold.
I think it is.
For sure, dude.
It's like, but people are so convinced that like, I'm safe. If I'm in cash, I'm safe.
No. The cash is just you. The thing is, there's just a level of certainty in holding cash, but it's 100%. But it's 100% that you're gonna get fucked, especially on a long enough time scale.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I just and the inflation's the other hot topic. It's like a lot of people in the market right now think that inflation is on the outs and that we're going to start a deflationary cycle here soon. But it's like, dude,
there's a,
I don't know if we've done enough.
There's a website called 42 Macro that will pretty much pinpoint exactly where we are in that cycle, which I have not looked at, but fuck, you could maybe search it up.
Yeah. I know the Fed is like, there's actually futures markets, where you can bet on the Fed's decision for each quarter. And I think the meeting's coming up and it's like, you can trade it on Robinhood. It's like 99 cents for no move, right? People don't think that they're going to hike them or they're just going to leave them as is because they don't fucking know. I think the people in the Federal Reserve Bank, they know that like, we're not really out of the woods yet with inflation at all. No. Think how much we fucking printed in 2020, bro. Think how much the stock market went up.
Yeah, well, that is something that I haven't really wrapped my head around. It's like, what percent of the current circulating money has been printed since 2020? Like
probably 40? A lot.
That's something we could look up.
How much? Let's see. How much money is in the economy
that has been
printed since 2020? 2020. I'm fat fingering the fuck. Oh my God.
that's the thing is like,
holy shit, bro. 80%.
Like even, well, if Bitcoin was at 20 and then moved to 100, would that be like, I'm having a fucking CTE moment.
You're trying to adjust the figure in your head to.
Yeah, like, would that be reflective of 80%?
Yeah, I don't. Let's here. Let me see if I can ask the
honestly,
AI.
I would honestly ChatGPT it.
Yeah.
Or Grok.
Yeah, Claude, dude. I don't know if you ever heard of Claude. It's pretty badass.
What is it like?
It's really, it's tremendous at coding. So to digress for a second, another thing I do in my sales process with people
AI.
Is, yeah, I use it for sure. So trying to show people that own mutual funds and 401ks that they're paying way too much in expenses. Because you got to pay expenses if you own mutual funds to the fund managers. So people will be getting like 0.4% picked out of their portfolio every year, and they don't even know it. It's like they send you like a 30-page prospectus, and there's like little fine print that you have to go in and look for. It says, hey, this fund has an expense ratio of 0.44%. That's 44 basis points. That's a lot. And so I looked online to try and find a tool that would calculate a compounded amount. Like, let's say we have a $1.4 million portfolio. I was looking for a tool that would show me over 30 years how much money they would pay to mutual fund fees because it compounds. And I couldn't find a single fucking tool online. And I was like, why is that? JP Morgan doesn't want you to see that figure. You know, Wells Fargo doesn't want you to see that. Because they're making money off these mutual funds.
So if you're holding a mill, how much are they going to take out of that?
So I went, so I couldn't find a tool. So I went into this Claude AI and I said, make me a tool, write the code. And right there on the screen, it showed like you could plug in the principal amount, you plug in the mutual fund expense ratio, and then you plug in my expense ratio, which is like 0.02 because we buy individual stocks. And for a $1.4 million portfolio, if they're paying 44 basis points over 30 years, they are giving $358,000.
Got to start a mutual fund.
Yeah, for real. But yeah, it's like Warren Buffett. If you read like...
And that's even if they're losing money on their mutual fund. Well, I don't even know.
What yeah, like the like it could go down for all 30 years too.
You're still paying
it could, that. The market could be shit. You know what I'm saying? Like... So Warren Buffett talked about that in, there's a book that's a series of newsletters that Warren Buffett wrote to his shareholders over like 30 years. It's called Ground Rules. And he talks about how, I don't want to misrepresent the year, but I think it was like mid to late 1800s, maybe early 1800s, where the European settlers got here and, I think it was Staten Island, some borough of New York City, right? And when the settlers got here, they wanted to buy it from the Indians. They wanted to buy it from the natives, and they bought it for $23,000.
The land?
Yeah, it was like Staten Island, something of that size.
Oh, fuck.
Something of that size, right? Like Staten Island, or I think it might have been, but I don't want to misspeak. $23,000. Today, it's worth like $5 billion. Or maybe more. It's like five. I don't want to say in the T's, but it's
all of Staten Island or that size plot of land.
Something of that size in like the surrounding greater New York area. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it was like 200 acres or something like that. But the point of the story was that's only like what, 200 years, you know, 200
from 23,
220 years. That's the power of compounding.
Wait, where does compounding come into play?
It's like it's like you think about the value of that land in the 1800s. There's probably nothing there.
Oh, you're just saying that's how the...
Development, like
okay, yeah,
progression, returns, right? Basically, if you were there in the 1800s and you're like, hey, I want to pick up 1,000 of that 23,000. Like you think about the compounding returns. If your family had held on to that stake... up until this day.
Yeah.
It's power of compounding.
Generational wealth.
Yeah. And so like mutual fund expenses can compound the opposite way.
Oh, fuck.
You know so what I'm saying?
You're just getting royally fucked for the rest of your bloodline's existence.
Yeah. So it's like, I forgot what I was going to ask AI.
But if you put 10% of somebody's portfolio into Doge, they're going to fucking throw a brick at you.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah. Here's the thing, like there's already Bitcoin like ETFs and shit. So
So, okay, wait, but are you allowed to just buy Bitcoin in somebody's portfolio?
I could. I could buy a Bitcoin ETF in someone's portfolio.
No, no, but like just straight up Bitcoin.
Probably not.
Why?
Because you need, I think, well, number one, in most cases, you probably need a wallet, and that's not regulated. Oh, like the SEC, FINRA, they'd be like, what the fuck? You're managing someone's crypto wallet. Like, there's something wrong there. I don't know what wallet is.
Well, because then it technically would be in your custody and it not rightfully theirs.
Yeah, well, and to go off of that, like when I get a new client, their money is not in our office. It's at Fidelity. Mm-hmm. And so I doubt Fidelity.
What if you bought Bitcoin on Fidelity?
Yeah, so you can buy Bitcoin ETFs, but I don't think you could buy actual Bitcoin.
I'm pretty sure my mom does.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I've just never done that for someone.
Because I would say if you could, which that is what we do in the investing campus in the real world, is just pinpoint the periods or times where it's going to trend up super hard. And then at those periods of times, just leverage Bitcoin 2-3x. Like you could make a fucking tremendous amount of money just doing that.
Mm. Do you just put like some bread away like every week, every month?
It's hard because I had.
That's Are you what I reinvesting was doing. Into the business?
Yeah,
mostly?
It's hard right now because it's fucking. There's sometimes something comes up and I have to pull money out of the crypto to put into the business. And it's hard because I know Bitcoin's going up. But then at the same time, I'm getting more of a return out of the business than I ever would in crypto. Like crypto is not paying me 4K a week profit.
That makes total sense. It's like, you know, like I have had to invest into my business this year too. And it's like you said, like having to liquidate assets that I really believe in, right? Yeah. You really believe in the asset, but in reality, like in practice, you're like, okay, I would rather invest in myself than buy an asset.
I believe in that more. But then it's also like, even if my fucking Bitcoin portfolio hit a 10x this year, it's still like, okay, well now I have like 500K sitting in an account, but like I don't have the same, like it, I value income above that. Cause like that gives me the ability to like, okay, now I can just stack the crypto fucking pat fast. So what if I got to pay 20, 30, 40, 50% more? I'm making enough money that it doesn't fucking matter anymore. I just hit the green button all I want.
Well, it's like if you believe in the asset, you naturally like aren't going to look at the price tag as much.
Yeah, you're going to look at it in terms of when do I buy and how much at what point instead of do I buy.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know if my approach has been too passive, but I just buy 10 bucks every day just and I leave it. I just buy 10 bucks.
How much is that a year? Like 3,600?
Something. I should probably hike it up because I my income has gone up. So it's like.
I would do 10. The thing is. And this is the beauty of the investing canvas in the real world is like you track one asset so hard that like you can dial in exactly when to buy and sell.
Yeah.
And what when to employ like a heavy DCA period where you're buying like fucking a few K a week.
I talked to a guy last week, Indian fella, and he was like, yeah, my crypto is done very well, and I've learned how to time the market and all this shit. And I was like, okay, so why are you talking to me? and he was kind of like talking out of both sides of his mouth, and I was kind of like, okay, man, like just I don't when the average person tells like I thought about buying that real world course because. It seems like there's fucking good juice in it. So I would listen to whatever they had to say about it. But the common person that tells me, hey, I know how to time the crypto market. I'm like, dude, you don't know how to time shit. It's just been a nice bull run. And all these people, they come.
They think they're smart until they're fucking throwing themselves off a rooftop in Miami because they bought a bunch of shit with their unrealized gains, haven't paid it off yet. And then it tanks and they're holding the bag.
All this guy, and I don't mean to dump on this guy. He was a cool guy, like whatever. But all this guy was talking about was how good he was at timing the market. And I'm just like, okay, in what time frame? If it's been the last 5-10 years, a fucking monkey could time the crypto market and make money. Like, seriously. You know what? So it's like, just like
I could have sold the fucking peak. Like I mean, I could have bought at the fucking peak in 2021 and then still been up almost 2x.
It's naturally just very hard to like. Here's the thing, and this is kind of why I don't mean to sound sadistic. I don't want people's livelihoods to be affected, but I do think that we need a correction in not just in the general stock market, but in the crypto market, because people are flying so high right now. And if you think back to conventional investing wisdom, Warren Buffett, when other people are greedy, I'm fearful.
Dude, that's why one of my favorite pieces of data to look at is net unrealized profit loss.
Yeah. Why?
Because it is just like fear greed index is too like subjective to me.
But totally.
There's literally numbers that you could look at that tell you exactly like, well, I forgot what unit they do it by, but how much unrealized profit or loss is in the market and then do it off of that. And that's just like the most statistical kind of measurement for that.
Interesting. Yeah. I just think that, I don't know. But the other thing too, man, is like the economy might actually, and I think the economy is different than the market. That's the basic idea I think a lot of people don't grasp, is that the market is sentiment. The economy is like real, harsh reality. And so I just think that the last 5-10 years, it's like America's been getting fucked in trade. For like really since
that's
Obama.
Why you can't hate on Trump for the
You
terrorists.
Can't, bro.
So like we've been getting literally fucking raped.
We've been getting trade raped, bro. Like you think about it, you play fantasy football, it's like you're trading fucking best player in the league for like 2 trash cans. It's like it's the same shit. Your team's gonna be ass if you do that. We've been doing that. And so it's like, dude, I don't wanna sound like a pessimist. Like I'm tremendously optimistic about technological innovations and what AI can do. But I think that a lot of that expectation and hype is just already baked into the price. And if it even comes up 2 centimeters short of expectation, shit's gonna...
You know what efficient market hypothesis is, right?
Yeah, I don't know if I believe in it. I don't think markets are rational, dude. I think people are emotional, cretin, like, you know, lizard brains deep down.
Yeah, but like the majority of price movements I feel like are not coming off of retail, because even cumulatively they do not have that much money, and it's all coming from the big institutions when you see a big fucking dip. And then the other thing too that's very interesting is the way crypto you would invest in that versus stocks. The data that you look at is so fucking different for both of them, because stocks, I mean, if you're looking at like the S&P, it's going to be very, very liquidity based, and pretty much any stock is, but it's different when you're looking at like the performance of a company versus like tracking the market and seeing in a probabilistic range of outcomes where it's going to go.
Yeah. And I think that latter activity that you just mentioned, it's a lot kind of like poker. Yeah. It's much more psychological. Yeah. And you're just honestly, you're just trying to run off on with a bag on someone. Like
that's the part I like about it. It's like some fucking dickhead is just getting fucked because I made a better move than them.
Yeah, it's like, and it's all time. A lot of times it's timing based. Like, I don't know, dude. When I'm trading options, the pit of anxiety I feel in my stomach is like so real. It's like, fuck. I really want to sell this right now. I'm getting hammered. But then sometimes you give into that and you sell it, and then the thing fucking moons the same day, and you're looking at the same contract that you own and sold for fucking peanuts, and now it would have made you a band or 2 bands, and it's like that feeling is ass, bro.
Fuck.
That feeling is ass. But on the other side of that, when you buy something and you sometimes with options, dude, I'll buy it low and then it just goes up. It's very straightforward. I sell it at a nice gain and it's over. But then a lot of times too, like you got to just like resist that fear, resist that anxiety, resist that like that shitty feeling, and you ride it out, the best feeling is when you ride it out and that shit fucking ends up doing good for you.
That's why I'm, that kind of shit is why I'm so happy. I have a very large risk appetite. And I think, I mean, you played football, so it's the same kind of thing. Like, fighting has done that to me. It's like, I'm going to stand in front of somebody and throw fucking hard shots at their face and then get them thrown back at me. So when I sit in front of a computer and I see fucking numbers on screen, I'm like, oh, this is even fucking real. Go fucking 10x on the
computer. Has it been, do you feel like it's like, how's it been lately, like not being able to spar? Like, have you?
It really hurts.
Still struggling with it? Yeah. Do you have like dreams about like, you know, getting rounds and stuff like that?
Yeah, well, I have dreams where I just fight people.
Yeah. Dude, I'll tell you what, man. I was having some fantasies about whoever jumped into this car. I was like,
by the curb,
bro. Boy. I was visualizing what they might look like, bro.
You get a pretty good picture.
Yeah. It's like, dude, I am astounded that my driveway camera didn't pick them up. And I started getting paranoid. I might have mentioned this earlier already, but I've been telling the story all day. But it's like, I started getting paranoid. I'm like, are these dudes professionals? Did they like dodge the camera on purpose? Are there folks like looking at me and shit, and I was like, dude, I'm just gonna let go of it, lock my fucking car.
it's like it's $200.
It ain't no thing. But I will tell you this, dude, with the Patreon shit you guys are doing with Diesel, there are some prime candidates right here at this bus stop at that Elko gas station. Kind
of close to where we're at. Yeah. Well, relatively. But dude, I need to get a fucking gun. The thing is, for a long time, I just haven't trusted myself. Oh boy. Yeah.
Just with like mental health.
I thought you were getting off to show me a fucking gun.
No. Well, dude, that's the thing. I don't have one here. They're all in Kentucky, and they're all like 12 gauges anyway. So it's like, but this whole thing that happened, it made me kind of think like, dude, I need a piece. I need a piece pretty like. So I'm thinking about doing that.
The thing is, I'm just so fucking impulsive that for me to have that amount, like, there's so much potential
of power, pretty much in your hands.
It's just like the thing that goes right is somebody does try to run up on you and you get to kill them, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But then the things that go wrong are it's like I either kill myself, just have a fucking bad day, Bitcoin tanks 10%. Well, that's it, boys. Or fucking kill somebody else impulsively that probably shouldn't have died. Then I go to jail for that. Like, so many bad outcomes that could come from me having gum. Then it's at the point where it's like, well, I have my own house now. Like, I need to defend it. I feel like I'd sleep a little bit better if I just had a fucking 12 gauge.
Yeah. I mean, I always think about, like, if my dumbass, like, shot myself in the leg on accident.
Oh, like Diesel.
Dude, that story was so funny. So I went over to Luke's house. I think it was like maybe a week, 2 weeks ago. It just kind of like watched him edit. And dude, I'm not going to lie. He gave me a toke of smoke or two. And I was fucking belly laughing watching all that shit, dude. It was, it's going to be.
Was it a confidential?
No, it was the bum fights.
Oh, the bum.
Yeah. It was the bum fights, dude. And, I mean, Curtis, dude. How about Curtis just going out and making shit happen? It, like, he had him how quick? Like 5 minutes?
Yeah, then that other kid wasn't wanting to fight, but then we were like, you're not getting your money if you don't do round two because that shit was weak.
Yeah, because he tried to quit, didn't he?
Yeah.
What did he say? Was he just like, I can't?
He was like, bro, I got asthma. And I was like, you shouldn't have fucking said yes, buddy. You're doing round two.
Yeah, what the fuck? Throwing excuses out like a little baby.
He looked kind of sharp shadow boxing, but then when it was time to actually fight, he's just fucking chin up in the air, fucking winging hooks.
Was it the black guy or the Mexican guy? I can't remember.
The Mexican guy was it like that. And it's weird because people would think that because you're from an area like that, you just naturally are going to be scrappy. But I guess not because that kid fucking quit. And he tried to push out before the fight. He tried to push out during the fight. And then we're like, you're not going to get paid if you don't finish the fight.
Can they do like ground game and stuff?
Is no, because it's on concrete and there's a bunch of needles everywhere. And if one of them got a little poking, then they'd probably get HIV and die.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. So it's just on the feet. Can they kick?
No.
No kick? Well, so it's boxing?
If one of them was able to get a kick off, we probably wouldn't say anything. But I would be surprised if one of them did that.
Yeah. I mean, dude, I'll tell you this. I remember when I started like fucking around with some of the martial arts and stuff. Like I remember vividly, like not knowing how to kick, like get my hips over, like didn't understand the mechanics of it at all. And I was like, maybe I'm retarded. Maybe the general pop.
I mean, like, you're just not like built for it that much.
Yeah. Yeah. Or at least back then, especially cause I was just getting done with ball and like 240 and just like tight.
Oh
bro.
Fuck. Yeah. It'd be hard to get the leg up there.
Couldn't even sit on my heels when I started. at all, dude. But I don't know. What else, man? What else? You said I was talking to Gage. Gage, he's a younger cat. He's telling me he had a cousin that is a 4-star linebacker, committed to Oregon, I think. And we were talking. I was like, dude, there might be a chance that that kid is like making money already, like as a high schooler.
Off what?
Off of like brand deals and stuff. Fuck. Isn't that crazy?
That'd be fucking sweet.
Dude, it's like these kids in college.
You're getting your dicks out for sure.
Dude, that's what I was saying. Because he was like talking about how this kid was on all his like official visits and stuff. And I was like, dude, they take fucking care of you on those official visits. And someone else was like, dude, I wish it was out with MMA. And I was like, I think it will be in like 10, 20 years. Maybe wrestling. Maybe college wrestling.
No, there's no shot wrestling. But you MMA, the thing is like the, you can't. See, if we went there and then we were like, all right, boys, we're going to pay you $1,000. And they'd fight. And then the next time we came back, like, they wouldn't want to fight anymore. So you kind of, like, MMA, if you're from a promoter's perspective, you can't really pay them that much because then they're not going to want to fight.
Yeah. Dude, I remember, I think Tim sent it in the Patreon chat. It was like a documentary or like a 30-minute YouTube video about the IFL. I don't know if it's
UFL.
UFL maybe, but it was like team-based MMA.
Oh, fuck, that's probably not what I'm thinking about.
It was like, it was crazy. They tried to make it, I think it was like early 2000s, and they tried to make like rosters of fighters. You know, they had like some Jewish guy running it that like didn't know the first thing about fighting. He was just like, oh, good entertainment value, money. Like, you know, and... it's like, you know,
you have to bleep that out probably.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, yeah, maybe Luke can do that. But it's like it just didn't work out at all because they were spending a bunch of money on like getting big rappers to show up to the event
and
for
the
TV.
Getting paid fucking 1-1.
Yeah, it's like they would like miss rounds. Like the TV broadcast was like hella sloppy. And because this shit got a good fucking pop, I think, like the first couple events. I think they got like, I want to say like 15 to 30 million, like tune in on TV. And they just like, I think that league eventually became a publicly traded company at one point. And they just like blew through all the fucking capital and just like.
With what?
Just stupid shit. Like they were fucking bringing. They were paying people to find rap talent, like $200,000 a year. So like, imagine a fight promotion comes to you. It's like, hey, you know a couple rappers, and you're like, yeah, I know a couple rappers. They were like, what if we paid you $200,000 a year to go find them for us and show up at our events? They were just spending cash on stupid shit,
bro. When you start having a business that's doing well, at some point you have to start putting some of that money in the bank.
They just, you know, instead of focusing on putting an actual good product out there, they promised the fighters like health insurance and all these different benefits, 401ks. They offered them all these different benefits. And
they
then
didn't
get them. They pulled back on it. So they didn't honor it.
Bro, you're an MMA fighter. You're not getting a fucking 401k. Get the
health insurance. Think about the premium, bro. Think about the premium. So it's
fucking
like
health insurance.
So I don't know. Like I do like the whole reason I come to the gym. I hang out. Like I you know do a little training just because like I get to hang out with folks. It's a team atmosphere. It's like everybody's working toward the same thing. I think the team aspect of it is fucking cool, but. On the other side of that coin, it's like logistically speaking, if you're trying to fight as teams in mixed martial arts, I could imagine that logistically it would be a bit of a clusterfuck in regards to the production of the entertainment product, if that makes sense.
Yeah, getting everybody to fight at the same time. Like logistically, that probably just would never happen again.
I think they said too during the course of that promotion that they weren't able to stay within like time constraints because of the broadcast because so many fuckers had to fight. So it was like, what's this thing called? IFL? Let's see.
I mean, that'd be pretty sweet if they did it like high school wrestling matches, fucking knockout, you get 6 points.
Yeah, so International Fight League. it was, you know, and they got into a bunch of lawsuits with like Dana and stuff.
Is the WFA a real thing, or that's just they had that in the UFC video game?
World Fighting Alliance. World Fighting Alliance is a mixed martial arts organization.
Oh, that was a real thing.
In the United States. Let's look at it. Owned and organized. This is a lot of reading. My CTE is acting up. Crosstown Rivalry. Nightclub environment. God, that is crazy. That is greasy, bro. Nightclub environment. That's what they were trying to do. That looks like a damn strip club logo too, doesn't it, dude?
I'd be down to fight in a strip club.
Oh my god, that'd be kind of fire. I'll tell you what, dude, that Bullshooters venue here in town is I like just going there to hang out.
Yeah, it is pretty fun when they're doing fights there.
It's like if you go into that dart room, there's a bar, people smoking cigarettes, if that's your thing, like I don't know. I like ripping a dart like once every blue moon.
I can't anymore.
Yeah, you shouldn't. It's something I picked up being in a frat.
It probably is. Cigars aren't bad. I can't even do the cigars anymore though.
Really? They buzz you out too bad?
Well, I just stopped nicotine because of the post-concussion shit, but
oh yeah.
Well, I stopped literally no more caffeine, no more weed. No more nicotine, like zero drugs. It really is not fun.
Probably, I mean, you probably feel nice and clear, though, huh?
No.
No? I mean,
just all the shit that was going on in the background in my head that I didn't want to have to deal with, now I have to kind of deal with. So it's kind of fucking...
But it's probably be good long term.
Yeah, just to take a break from it.
Well, you just face shit that, you know... You know. But also, like, I can imagine not being able to, like... train hard and spar, like that's probably a factor too. Like,
yeah,
I
miss sparring, fighting.
It's tough, yeah. Because
it's not even like the violence aspect of it. It's just that I love the mental game of like striking and grappling so much from like a strategic standpoint and hitting somebody and angling off, and not getting hit. It's just so satisfying to my brain to do that. I just miss that.
Yeah, it's like. Dude, when I was 24, like when I first got to Red Hawk, I loved that shit. I loved standing and banging, like, you know, and then there was just a day, like, I think it was probably in the last year where I was just like,
right, shouldn't take too many more to the head.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, dude, fuck, I'm waking up loopy as fuck with a goddamn headache. And it's like, okay. I probably should tone this down a bit, you know.
Who was cracking you?
Well, I'll tell you, dude, I remember one time, man, this was like 2-3 years ago. We had this big Mexican kid come into the gym, and he had had some fights before. I think this guy had fought at like I think he had fought at like 150. Maybe he was lying. I don't know, because the guy was like 240. He was a fucking fridge, maybe 260. He was a big fridge, but he had some skills. And that was back in those days, like the early days of the last gym, you know, guys, like I got in a round with this guy and he fucking, I can't remember exactly what he did, but he fucking, I think he threw a two and he covered it up with a rear leg kick and just,
that's a good one.
Banged me home. Like that sounded so gay. He fucking clipped me, and I definitely got a concussion, and I remember I couldn't sleep that night because I had headaches and stuff, and it obviously kept going, but that was like one of those moments where I was like, oh, I think back to that, I'm like, dude, if that happened to me today, like, I trust everybody in the room to take care of me and stuff, but like, shit happens, you know, and it's like... I don't think I could eat another one of those.
Yeah, no, dude, that's why it's hard sparring with people who are my friends, because I've like just fucking flatlined people by accident, like complete accident before. I've been like, fuck.
Yeah, I remember. I think, dude, I remember when I heard that you clipped TJ pretty good. You remember that?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Yeah, when I heard about that, dude, I started having nightmares about sparring you.
That, I mean,
that isn't that kind like, of fire? Is that, that's that, kind that, of that's fire, kind, huh? Kind of funny, dude, here, and then fuck. And then lo and behold, a couple weeks later, I think like Sean was watching, obviously Tim was watching, and like,
oh, and then
Tim and we sparred, and I remember just being like, fuck, man, like this is what I had nightmares about, but like there was a really good feeling like pushing through and and hanging in for that round. And then afterwards, just like,
the thing is, TJ was throwing pretty hard to my head.
Oh, he no, you don't have to justify any of that.
I wasn't trying to do it, but I mean, I'm gonna fucking go on.
You don't have to justify it. Like, it's okay to like get in there and bang and like, you know. And TJ's fucking good. I haven't seen.
He is. It's like kind of off putting how skilled he is.
He's very skilled.
Looks like, yeah.
It's like he'll catch you with something, and you're kind of like, oh fuck. His
defense too.
Yeah, dude. I haven't seen him for a while, just since they switched class of the mornings. But I don't see him at sparring very often. I've been there the last couple of weeks on Saturdays. So he's got a kid, and he works real hard at his job. So. You know, certain things. Like, I think what's really cool about what's going on at the gym now with the fight team is like it seems like it's consisting of a bunch of guys that are like, this is my thing.
Yeah.
This is my thing.
Like hobbies.
That's right. And you know, it was hard there at the end, especially when like MMA classes in the evenings. Like, it felt hard for me to keep up with everybody. I was like, God damn, dude. These guys, like, you guys, all you guys, I was like, damn, you guys are getting to a different level, like, type shit. And it was just kind of a smooth transition. Dude, I'm enjoying the fuck out of no-gi in the evenings now. It's fucking, it's a lot more sustainable on the body, I think, for me.
Yeah, well, your body can take damage as much as you want. Your brain doesn't really recover the same way.
Oh, dude, I'll tell you this. I think I would rather. I don't want to give a bad take because I've never fought to kill. But I think where I sit now, I would rather take a clean one on the chin than a hard, hard liver shot.
Yeah,
is that a bad take? You think?
I mean, not really. In terms of just continuing to fight effectively, probably not.
Yeah, because when I've gotten hit hard in the liver, like. I want everything to just like stop.
Cause I was, I right before I moved here, I was sparring with this pro boxer. I like once or twice a week. And then I would fucking kind of piece him up a little bit. And then I was winning these rounds against him. And then one time I just didn't see it coming. He hit me with a good left hook to the liver. And I just fucking went down. Like, that is the most debilitating thing. Cause I honestly think it's going to be just, in terms of another human, maybe it's delusional. I can't get knocked out because I've been hit with some shots that it's like I should absolutely be unconscious after that, and I've never been dropped to the head. But to the body, like that one fucking hook is the only thing that's put me down to where like I cannot stand up.
Dude, I'll tell you this, you know, I don't know. Like my dad used to beat my ass when I was a kid. And my dad's a big dude, right? So like I feel like in ball and maybe – like in my early 20s with MMA, like I felt the same way. I was like, I can eat whatever damage comes my way. Like,
well, yeah, you can eat it just long term. It's not
long term. It's not sustainable. It's like, dude, I think of all the time. We've talked about this all the time where it's like when I was in college and we had inside drill, right? 5 O linemen, 5 D linemen, 2 linebackers, running back, quarterback. And the whole drill is just hand it off and bang, boy, fit that thing up, try and stop it. You know, when I was your age, younger, my whole football career, even in practice. And the other thing, too, is that I was a fucking walk-on. Like, I wasn't that good. I got where I got on heart. And so every fucking practice inside drill is like my Super Bowl. I'm like, I'm going to get some good shit on film. I'm going to get in here and bang. And I don't give a fuck how big you are. You're going to see on film that you felt my ass. Something, bro. Like, I got to do fucking something, right? And so every practice, bro. 15, 20 times, big, 6'6", two, not more than two, 6'6", 330, pulling around full tilt. And it's D1, so like these are athletic fucking guys too. And they're coming around in the hole, and I know the ball's coming right to me, and I got to plug that motherfucker. I'm throwing my whole fucking weight in there. Gosh, head first, like, and I never got knocked out cold. But there are definitely a couple instances where I don't remember going back to the sideline. And I just kept shaking and driving because I was like, I have to be in the reps. I have to like try to earn my keep. And, you know, now you, like you said, long term, you feel that a little bit. You know what I mean?
You feeling it now or you feel pretty good?
I mean, I think
I was like, if you were like seriously fucked up, you probably would know.
Yeah, the last couple of years it's like the last 3 years, I think, is like finding the optimal way for me to train hard in a sustainable way. And then also like trying to be pretty disciplined. Like I got a cold plunge out back, like pretty disciplined with like recovery activities and shit like that. And eating good. I think eating good is probably the most important one.
Yeah, for sure.
I've been, dude, every meal for the last like 6 months, maybe longer. I just get 4 pounds of like ground beef or whatever at Sprouts. Cook it in beef tallow from Lee Bones, some sourdough buns, and some raw cheddar. And I just eat burgers every fucking meal.
You start doing that?
It's pretty fire. And it's so good that like you don't really get sick of it. I haven't gotten sick of it yet.
Fuck, I'm probably going to have burgers tonight.
Yeah, dude. What do you got going on the rest of the day?
I'm going to go, because I've had a fucking herniated disc in my back, so I haven't been able to train. But I'm going to go do therapy for it and get a light lift in. And then I got some legal shit to do for my business that I'm just going to sit down and hammer out and chill my dog eat off.
Some brain damage or like some, like, is it shitty work that you got to do or it's kind of like just.
Okay, here's the actual task itself is kind of fucking like tedious to do. But what I'm doing is very interesting. It's called, because it's called a private membership association. I need to legally establish my company as a PMA. Because if I were to not do that, there's no way that the fucking corporate conglomerates would allow me to get the licenses to actually sell water to people, which, like, that's how it works. I have to make it basically a private business. But there's so much information, because it's not like you pay a lawyer to do it. They will give me a pretty much step-by-step tutorial. I ought to pay like $5,000 for them to tell me how to do it. But then I do all of it myself, and it requires me to actually learn about it.
That's good.
And the more I learned, it's like really, really fucking interesting, where basically right after the Civil War, the United States on paper was cloned in a way where like now every single state technically has their own constitution. And then there's the United, like you have to think about it in two ways, right? Like there's the United States of America, which is it's a corporation. If you were to literally Google it, is the United States of America a corporation? It would say, yes, it is.
Absolutely.
And then there's the Republic of America. Now, if you're part of the Republic of America and you don't sign these contracts to be part of the United States, you don't really have to pay as much taxes, and you don't really have to follow the public commerce regulations that you otherwise would if you were to try and fucking sell water to people, which, by the way, they require you to put fucking chlorine in it, and there's a whole bunch of shit that they do that
is not good for people,
that you should not be drinking, and they don't even have to tell you about it, versus as long as you are operating within the Republic of America, you're serving to private members, you can get paid for it, and as long as it's not hurting anybody, you'll be good.
Yeah.
There's the huge, huge like tax fucking benefits to doing it that way, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know what kind yet, or not really?
Like, you kind of don't have to pay as much taxes.
That's nice. Damn, dude. Like, income tax or just, like, sales tax? What do you think?
I don't know enough about it to
film. They'll probably help you through the whole deal.
On camera fucking saying that I don't have to do X, but I'm going to talk to the lawyer about it.
Yeah, 100%.
But right now I just got to figure out how to, I just got to do all the legal paperwork and learn more about it.
Are you scaled outside of Phoenix yet? Like, are you able to ship to people in other places yet or not yet?
No, I don't think I'm going to end up doing that.
All right, cool.
Because if I were to ship the water, I would then actually need to put chemicals in it to make sure that there's no, like, bacteria buildup. Oh. Because it's in heat and fucking darkness for, like, days.
Interesting. So, yeah, I mean, we're in a big metro area, though, so I'm sure you'll always have clientele. Especially, like, there's a lot more, like, health-conscious people here.
Yeah.
Than there are. Like, if you were, I mean, I hope I'm not going on a limb saying this. Like, if you were in, like, bumfuck West Virginia, they'd probably be like,
pretty hard to
what the hell I need? Stuff. What the hell I need clean ass water?
Water
for?
Out here in my tap.
I got water in the creek, nah. You know what I'm saying? Dude, I'll tell you this. I stayed at an Airbnb up in the northeast part of the state, like old Native American sacred land on a ranch, and she had a well, dude, and the tap water was fucking magnificent, fucking dude. It was so good. I like took some for the road. I was like, dude, shit's fire. But yeah, I mean, I guess we could wrap it up there. Anything you want to plug, anything like that? I mean, you got your water company, Sedona Springs. It's fire. Dude, I see your ads all the time on Instagram, yeah. And they're very professional.
Thanks. That's the biggest thing the real world has taught me. It's not to like You don't have to fucking manipulate people into buying shit. You literally would just say what you're selling, like kind of create a need for it, and then give them the opportunity to buy it, and then 1 in 100 people are going to click on the link optimally.
Yeah. Well, and
125
probably. And if I'll say anything on the record on the podcast, it's that this fucking guy is living proof that Andrew Tate's real world course, or whatever you want to call it, curriculum, it fucking works because he's doing fucking well. But yeah, I think this is episode 57. Dude, also, I think I'm going to change. So I changed the name of my show like a couple months ago. I changed it to the Dupree Show. But the original name, In the Jar, it's been fucking hanging with me. So I think
yeah, I kind of like that one more than the Dupree Show.
It might, I like. This might be the first episode with called In the Jar again. So my dog, appreciate you. All right. Wrap it up, boy.